Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, January 17th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is a damp 36 degrees and icy, chilly rain here in a gray upstate New York. So where do we leave off on Friday? We titled the show, and I think this was Friday's show. Hold on. It was Friday the 13th. Yeah, it was. DARPA 21st Century Cures 3D Biomanufacturing New Economy and Killer Mice. We spent the week last week. I think we kicked it off with an interview with the head of DARPA's Biological Technologies Office, which is where a lot of the mad science, switch flipping, DNA growing, splicing and dicing division happens. Push a button, create some life. We heard an interview with the director of the BTO discussing how 2017 is going to quote unquote blow your minds. We took a look at some of those technologies. And of course, one of the many things that the BTO is getting into is one of our love to hates, the Brain Initiative. Brain Initiative has been rolling out full force for the last few years, since April of 2013. But it got a big push forward with the passage of the 21st Century Cures Act that happened right before Christmas with nothing but a whimper. And they haven't really made any big announcements, I've noticed. But lo and behold, watch what's going to happen. We got the Slick Willy, the ball game under the cups getting ready to happen here. You know, they're all jumping on the bit. We're going to repeal Obamacare. And everybody is waving their hands. Yay, because I can't afford my $700 a month insurance bill. Because everything has gone up. And my deductible is, I don't know, they don't even have deductibles anymore. Out of pocket, $13,000 before insurance kicks in. So, woo, get rid of Obamacare and let's do something different. It was all set up that way. See, they let that go through. They don't knew these double-digit increases for Obamacare were going to happen. They'd warned about it. They even knew that if you wanted to keep your doctor, you can have your doctor. Obama said that 782 times on camera. I don't know. But you remember we listened to that compilation of all the repeated times. He said, if you want to keep your doctor, you can have your doctor. You can keep your doctor. I mean, he said it over and over and over and over again. But once they passed Obamacare, oh, guess what? He said he made a mistake. He was wrong. Well, you could keep your doctor if you wanted to keep your doctor and they participated in the program or something else. I remember what the caveat was. But in the end, it wasn't always that you could keep your doctor. And oh, by the way, all of these prices, health insurance is going to go through the roof. It isn't going to be like the old school days. We got a $5 copay and free generic prescriptions or $5 prescriptions. Now we're doing tiers. Anything that's name brand is probably going to be very expensive. And, you know, the insurance companies are going to dictate to you what medications you can use and what ones you can't use. And, I mean, it's always been like that. But they're also, think about this, health insurance companies, just like car insurance companies and homeowners insurance, any type of insurance company is hoping they don't experience loss. The more information they know about you beforehand, the better assessment they can make as to whether or not they even want to insure you. So it's very interesting as we have the outgoing Obamacare. And everyone's like, what are we going to replace it with? Oh, my God. Well, they haven't been talking about this at all, but I'm telling you, I see it. This 21st Century Cures Act is almost like Obamacare 2.0. Except now in the 21st century, we're going to be able to bring costs down and provide health care to everyone by employing Dr. Smartphone, by employing 21st century cures to be able to see your doctor through your camera, take a picture of Johnny's rash, send it to the AI, and then take one of these 10 suggestions. And if none of these work, well, then you can schedule a video call with your doctor tomorrow. I mean, I really think that's going to be what the cure is to Obamacare and the planned bloating of the system so nobody can afford it. You know, problem, reaction, solution, they set us up so we had this massive problem, and now the reaction is knee-jerk, repeal the law. Of course, everyone's going to repeal the law because of the fines and the increases in pricing. And they think they're going to have something way better now because, look, at we have been able with technology, and don't believe that they're going to just, you know, allow that to be swept under the rug. This is going to be the new mantra. As I'm telling you guys, there is some horrifying stuff coming. Everything that I am reading now is really, really starting to push this migration to smart factories, robotics, universal income. We've seen a couple of them now over the last few days. I'm going to take a look at that. I don't know. I think I had some stuff open last night, but not too sure. I don't know. It's all been a blur. And it was a holiday for the kids yesterday. It's just, now this is like the endless season of holidays where I don't get a full week for, you know, weeks on end. But anyway, so this 21st century cures is going to be how they cure Obamacare. It will be easy. Even Nana can do it. We can get these little biosensors. Of course, this crazy stuff that we are developing everywhere. We can detect anything, even at a distance, even non-invasively. Look, we even have a section in the 21st Century Cures Act that talks about surveillance. There was that other act. I keep forgetting the name of it, but it was that other act that got passed right around the same time. Same day, again, about surveilling family members with neurological disorders. They talked about utilizing non-invasive surveillance. So thank goodness it's not the implants yet, but they have them. They got all this stuff, but they don't even need them. I mean, they could just use our phone or our wearables. Let's get everybody on board. Get a Fitbit for Christmas. You know, and at the very beginning, it's all going to be voluntary. We read that. That was actually in the legal documentation. For now, it is voluntary. But in the future, they could very potentially deem you as a danger to yourself or others, or better yet and easier still, they could just determine that for insurance purposes, to keep the cost down, just like, you know, you've been complaining about with your health care. More surveillance is better surveillance. If, Johnny, look it. Until we get these self-driving cars out there, where we can ensure what is going on with the accelerator and the steering wheel, we're going to need to put 24/7 monitoring on this car. Make sure that you do not ever break the speed limit. And that you are coming to a complete stop when we sense a stop sign. Otherwise, Johnny, we're not going to be able to insure you because you're just too much of a risk for us. I mean, I see that happening. You know, we talked a lot about, at one point in time, DNA swabs. And one little caveat that is out there right now, and I think that we're going to find that this is going to cause lots of problems in the future, is that you are not protected from discrimination from insurance companies getting their hands on your DNA data. So 23andMe is encouraging everyone to step right up. And not only 23andMe, I mean, they kind of normalized it with that commercialized DNA swabs. with 23andMe, Sergey Brin, co-founder of Google's ex-wife, who's the CEO. I think it was CEO of 23andMe. But 23andMe kind of normalized it. And now this Precision Medicine Initiative is going to roll out the DNA swab to anyone and everyone who thinks that they're going to be part of this new 21st century healthcare system. To get treatment, you will need to be in the database, period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's how the system works. That's how we come up with these precision medicine cures for you. You don't give us the DNA, we can't cure you. Sorry, Charlie. How convenient is that? They could do a lot with DNA. It's like the root of all mad science that is going on right now. We found out with that All of Us program, formerly known as Precision Medicine White House. What do they call it? Precision Medicine Cohort Program. That's what it was. They wanted 1 million Americans to step up and give their swabs for research. So then they can sequence that 1 million people's genomes and take a look at what's the same and what is different. Compare and contrast. Determine whether or not they're old or young. Remember, there's lots of longevity research going on as well to be able to live forever. There's rich chick billionaires that are financing that. They'll be able to determine if you're young or old and what your differences are and what your likenesses are and what your illnesses are. And then run some sort of AI across the results that they acquire from all of you studious citizens who want to step up and help cure everyone in the future. Microsoft wants to cure all disease in 10 years. And Google is at it as well. That's pretty disturbing. We are selling ourselves out here where by giving it up to this new 21st century medical establishment, we're also giving up the secrets to humanity. And we've read some pretty crazy stories where scientists were experimenting on themselves, where they were injecting themselves with 1.7 billion year old bacteria. Remember that one? This is a Russian scientist. We also had the geneticist who came up, I don't remember what the treatment was, some sort of stem cell therapy maybe, or was it a CRISPR therapy? I'm not sure. But it was something for youth and vitality. So she was probably tweaking telomeres or something. But she injected herself with the company's creation, her longevity cure. I haven't seen anything that she's dead yet. So I guess that's a good thing. Two of them, I haven't seen that they're dead yet. But unless you're going to inject yourself, and most scientists probably are not that dedicated, they just are interested in getting their name on a paper in a peer-reviewed journal to be able to point to their accomplishments. You know, it's in a lab is one thing with little field mice like the ones we talked about on Friday. We're going to get back here. That they've actually used optogenetics, again, more mad science, part of the brain initiative, genetically modifying brain cells to react to light. And this is the same technologies that they were using to be able to flip memories on and off, insert and remove, part of the PTSD research that they were doing at DARPA. They've been able to remote control mousies with little implant thingies. We've seen so many horrible things. I just saw another story about remote controlling cockroaches. And, you know, we've talked a few times about remote control cockroaches and big fancy moths. course, they want to turn them into swarms. They have all kinds of swarm learning technologies that they've been experimenting with for a long time at the Weiss Institute as part of the military funding that goes on in a lot of these places. But they're putting little breadboards with circuits and wires to the top of these cockroaches' heads. They're calling them little biobots. They could use joysticks, bzz, 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 but it's all going to be for saving you. In the name of a disaster, we are going to send in the troops, the cockroach troops, with a little mini camera mounted on their little breadboard on their backs, coming to find you in the collapsed building. Hey, what kind of a world is this? So now we have these little mousies. And I don't know. I tried to drop that picture of the remote control cockroaches in chat, and it just came up with a big gray X. So I don't know if you guys will be able to see this, but just in case, I'll do it one more time with two dots. Go look at it. Good morning, guys. So we got our little remote controlled insects. They're calling them biobots to come save us in a disaster. We also have the mousies that they've been pushing little buttons in their brains to find out if they could trigger different emotions. You know, it's all about cracking the secrets of the brain. We've talked about that so many times. But it's not to cure your mental disease. It's not to cure your genetic disease. It's not to cure anything. See, guys, they're using this medical tyranny, which doesn't seem like a tyranny right now to anybody except for people like us who've been paying attention. They're using this medical tyranny to suck you into the machine. They're using your love of your devices and technology and new and improved to pull you in as a node on the internet of everything. I did some deep digging this weekend. In some of my quiet moments, I found a document from, I'd have to look, I don't know if it was the 50s, the 40s. I'll have to find where the page is. Here it is. Oh, 60s, 1965, May 17th, out of Lincoln Lab at MIT, titled Millimeter Wave Research, Past, Present, and Future Technical Report. I read this report out of MIT's Lincoln Laboratory, 1965, on all their research in the history of millimeter wave. Some of the things that they were toying with, I talked about being able to scan at a molecular level. They were using it for astronomy for a very long time and for military purposes and LIDAR and all that type of thing. And now they're really rolling out this millimeter wave as a booster to 5G and as a surveillance technology. Well, guys, I highly suggest it. It is in the Before the First Cup Twitter feed. If anyone gets out there, twitter.com/... I think it's... hold on. Oh, my goodness. It is Monday for me. I think it's Julie Stan 1. I should really come up with, like, the real Twitter, but that was my Twitter beforehand. Yes, twitter.com/... Jewel, J-U-L... E, the letter E, Stan, S-T-A-N, and the number one, JulieStan, .com, Twitter.com, JulieStan.1, no, JulieStan1, no, .com, but I highly recommend that you read that, because it really outlined to me what's old is new again. What's to keep you safe was typically financed by some sort of military DARPA, DOD dollars. We're looking at these cures for PTSD, these cures for cancer, nanobots in your blood delivering chemotherapy payloads in a targeted fashion with little flagellated nanorobotics swarming in legions throughout your blood to cure you. I mean, we literally have read all that. Different points in time. You need to embed your little nano sensor, Nina, or swallow this pill. You will be online in 25 minutes, and then we can start monitoring you. Guys, this is all coming as security, safety for you, safety for Nana, keeping costs down, the love of technology, George Jetson world. We are bringing it to you on a platter. Remember, we took a look at the stock market just to see what the changing in the guards was going to do. We found out right off the bat, woo! Stock market and biotech was going crazy. Insurance was down a little bit, but I bet it's not now. They just moved all their money out of the insurance companies to the biotech device companies. But now, just now, yesterday, or the day before, maybe Saturday, we start seeing stories now where they are seriously talking about universal basic income again. Robots taking all the jobs again. Rolling out these new smart factories. And all of this technology that they are dumping into our atmosphere, 5G being one, is part of this new ubiquitous internet everywhere. And then millimeter wave as its booster is going to enslave us all. We've talked before about that spider web in the sky, and we thought the internet was bad. Well, this is going to be the internet of everything, not just things. We will be things, but there will be the internet of everything, including smart devices, smart factories, self-driving cars that will all be controlled from the sky. They will be running on some sort of GPS mapping, monitoring, dashboarding, 24/7 control grid. Remember, even we got NASA and Verizon, Google, Facebook, Amazon, that all jumped on board to come up with this air traffic control system for these new delivery drone projects that are going on everywhere. I bet you 2017 is going to be the big year for that as well. So even Amazon was working on some idea with floating delivery blimps or something up above where all the swarms of drones take off with their delivery packages. I don't know. I mean, the future to me is not looking like a shiny George Jetson world. The future to me is looking scarier every single day. I was talking to a friend this weekend. It's really sad because I don't think I've ever had the problem of being an optimist. ever. I don't know. I always found out that if you look at the glass, and you know, I've had friends complain like, Julie, you're so damn negative. But I always found out if I look at the glass as half empty, and I always take that half emptiness to prepare for the potentialities of failure, then at least when the majority of the time you don't fail, you end up being pleasantly surprised because you always expected the worst. And, you know, it's not that I've ever had a lot of experience with failure, but I sure as hell have had a lot of experience with Murphy. Murphy's Law, that is. And, you know, I used to be a tech way back when. Fixing troubleshooting computers, and my God, bashed my head into a wall. Thank goodness that was in the 90s, because I just don't have the patience for that stuff anymore. I want to get out a baseball bat. You guys would always laugh at me when my computers would be acting up and I'd be singing my baseball batty song. But, you know, seriously, that's how I feel. I can't deal with technical issues anymore on the fly, out of the blue, for no reason whatsoever. What was the point of that? I don't know. But back in those days as a tech, I was much more patient. I don't even remember what my train of thought was there. All right, anyway, so at the very end of the show on Friday, we looked at a story, mice turned into killers when brain circuits are triggered by lasers. Now, I had read something last night And I know I've closed it. It was out of one of those publications like the UK Sun. And I've seen stories out of the UK Sun. Usually they have pretty fantastical headlines. And I'm not going to say that the stories out of there are true, because anything that I've seen out of there that has interested me in regards to mad science technology has not been untrue, but they just spin it in a way that sounds fantastical. I don't know how much referencing they do, but most of the stuff I've read out of there is true. I just typically don't use them as sources. But I saw a story yesterday about the millimeter wave as well. And one of the things that they are looking at doing is making this laser grid using high-speed lasers and radio waves and all kinds of crazy stuff to make this literal grid in the sky. And it was a lot about some of this stuff, the same very stuff that I was reading about in the Lincoln Lab report from 1965. It almost sounded like it was the same source of research, just now advanced here 50, 60 years into the future. We found out the Air Force was plasma bombing the sky back already a year ago with those little millimeter wave CubeSats to increase radio reception. And that radio reception is going to be utilized for linking together all of these little CubeSats and other devices that they are launching into the upper atmosphere right now to make this full grid of the Internet of Everything. And it's not just going to be us. It's going to be everything. Everything will be controlled from above, all in the name of keeping us safe and order. And they have these new pulse technologies, energy technologies, utilizing lasers and radio frequencies, where they don't have to pay for bullets or any kind of other thing. They will be able to keep us in check. So when you start reading stories like this about the little mousies, it's got to make you concerned. Again, they are using lasers. Mice turned into killers when brain circuit is triggered by a laser. Inside every mouse lurks a natural-born killer. Researchers have identified the brain region that controls hunting and have found a way to switch it on and off. Wow, it's amazing. They've been able to turn off all these processes within living creatures, whether it be brain areas or DNA switches. Ivan D. Aduro at Yale University and his team have discovered that two sets of neurons in a mouse brain underpin the instinct to kill. One coordinates the pursuit of prey, while the other controls the neck and jaw muscles used for biting. Both are located in the amblyogata, which is the part of the brain involved in motivation, emotion, and fear. By modifying these neurons so they can be activated by laser light, that's right, I told you, they, use some genetically modified neurons using some sort of phosphorescence so they will react to light. And this is using this optogenetics we've talked about many times before. The team was able to switch these circuits on whenever they wanted. So we're talking about killer mice. We've talked about rescue roaches. We've talked about entomological warfare of the past. And that's literally in our history of the U.S. biowarfare program. A lot of the research that was going on at Fort Detrick and Plum Island had to do with insects and farm animals. Being able to find covert ways to thwart our enemy by being able to deliver pathogens. Well, think about a standing army of killer mice and surveillance cockroaches coming out of the woods behind your hiding spot. Add to that, swarms of drones. We have DARPA now experimenting with 103 mini drones in a swarm, autonomous. Of course, it's all in the name of keeping us safe, but that's okay. You know, and now DARPA has that new Insect Allies program we've talked about as well, where they are infecting insects right now, right today, in the Biological Technology Office. Again, it's DARPA. They're funding it. They're infecting insects with genetically modified viruses. They suck the guts out and then put whatever they want inside, and then setting these insects onto crops, having these insects eat crops, and while the insects munch on the crops, they infect those crops with a genetically modified virus that they have been infected with by the scientists, that then infects the plants, and as it infects the plants, that virus starts scanning for vulnerabilities in the plant cells. And it'll find it, because viruses are really good at that. Once they get inside, they start replicating like mad. And this new DNA that they have inserted starts to propagate throughout the plant, make its changes. In essence, genetically modifying this plant while it is growing in the ground for then us to consume. Now, of course, since I was listening to this interview with the BTO dude, he's saying, well, you know, it's going to protect us from any type of crop disease, whether intentional or unintentionally released, that might threaten our food supply from foreign actors or anybody that wants to hurt us. Or, of course, you know, just any climate change, quote unquote, induced crop disease, but we're going to be able to fix it on the fly by using insects that we have taken control of, whether it be with little implants in the brains, laser beams, or genetically modified zombie viruses. I mean, guys, what kind of a world do we live in where this is the stuff that they are actually working on right now? Think about what they could do if they control the insects, or in the future, certainly sounds like they'll be able to control bunches of insects. If they can control plants, if they can control little things such as mice and cockroaches, I'm going to have armies of crickets someday. And then add to that autonomous drone swarms and the big spider web in the sky that's starting to close in on us. Where are we going to go? How are you going to get away from that? The only way is going to be like in a cave somewhere, out on a remote island that doesn't have a Skybender 5G drone flying over once an hour. I mean, this is just crazy. So anyway, all right, let's talk about these killer mice for one more minute. Then I want to move on. The researchers block the action, chasing versus biting, on each set of neuron. And when they block the neurons responsible for prey pursuit, the mice were slow to chase, but they were still able to bite. Killer mousies. Conversely, when they blocked the biting neurons, the mice pursued the prey, but they could not deliver a killing bite. Yeah, I was thinking about it too. Do mice get rabies? Because rabies was one of those things they had talked about, like a zombie virus a long time ago, and how to make one that was very virulent. There were stories in like National Geographic and stuff back in, oh, I don't know, it was 2012 maybe, about how would be the most effective way to do that. And rabies was one of those viruses that was favored making a zombie, quote unquote, zombie virus, mixing some sort of rabies with a cold virus so it would be easily transmissible. But you know, you got all these mice, field mice right now, that are infected by things such as Lyme. And of course, Lyme, a lot of it came from ticks. Now they have some new treatment that they are toying with to cure Lyme disease. Again, it's probably going to be one of these 21st century cures of shape-shifting immune systems that we've discussed many times before. But Lyme also is questionable as to whether or not, because it's so odd how it works, it's these little corkscrews that go and hide and they can evade being treated by antibiotics. If you wait too long, they'll go get in your joints and sit dormant forever. And they can even react to things. You know, it's just such an odd disease. And it's so debilitating. And it's so hard to treat. And there are lots of questions as to where it actually came from. We also had that new Paswan tick disease that there really is no treatment for, and they can just hope to make you comfortable and hope you don't die. You know, it makes me wonder if Plum Island didn't have something to do with that, infecting ticks and infecting mosquitoes. We also found out they were using fleas. All in the name of entomological research, in the name of warfare. Well, why wouldn't we use little fuzzy animals that are prevalent everywhere? And today it might be shining a laser on their brain to make the aggression come out, but tomorrow might just be a frequency. Remember, the Department of Defense is doing huge amounts of research into electromagnetic warfare, into energy weapons, into being able to manipulate these frequencies to make them do things. And, you know, digging into that millimeter wave research, past, present, future, out of Lincoln Laboratories, which I found out at the very end, it says it was all financed by the Air Force. It was interesting as well. The Air Force at MIT. You know, they've been tinkering with manipulating natural energies for a very long time to be able to see what they could make them do. And as they're cracking all the secrets of biology and then applying these military technologies to medical purposes, wink, to cure your PTSD or your aggression or make you feel better, be able to tell whether or not Nana had too much pie for dessert. There's going to be nowhere to run. It'll all be required at some point. Like I said, it is only voluntary now. We are getting sucked in with the coolness of technology, trying to sell us the promise of the future. You could live forever. Just step up. Get the sensor embedded. Put it on your smartphone. You could see charts, Nana, about how healthy you've been every day this month. We'll send it to your doctor. And he'll make sure that everything is A-OK. Mark my words. That's the way it's going to be. This is the very beginning of 2017. And this is just the beginning of this 21st century orgy of medicine to turn humans into endpoints on the internet of everything. So just keep an eye on it. Let me know. Let me know. You see anything like that that comes out, drop me a note because we'll cover it. I don't know. There's so much stuff. I am so behind. All right. So now let's start moving into the realms of integrating the machine. So we've seen all kinds of things recently. Facial scanning softwares that can determine whether or not you're lying. Facial scanning software. They can even look at micro expressions and tell whether or not you're hiding something. They can look at traits in your face and determine what potentially, statistically speaking, your genetic history could be. And then based on your genes, determine whether or not there is a likelihood that you could be a terrorist or a murderer. They can use the sound of your voice to tell all kinds of things about you, as well as whether or not you have some sort of quote unquote mental disorder. I'm going to use it to diagnose you. Well, now I see a story out of fizz.org. This lie detecting security kiosk of the future. When you engage in international travel, you may one day find yourself face to face with border security that is polite, bilingual, and responsive, as well as robotic. So we're going to start putting security kiosks as check stops, starting at the borders. And then who knows? The automated virtual agent for truth assessment in real time is what it's called, guys. Automated virtual agent for truth assessments in real time, more affectionately known as the acronym Avatar, is currently being tested in conjunction with the Canadian Border Services Agency to help border security agents determine whether travelers coming into Canada may have undisclosed motives for entering the country. Oh my God. And you know, I'd really would like to know. We have a crossing right in Buffalo. Actually, there's a couple crossings in Buffalo, Rainbow and the Peace Bridge. And you always got to drive up to the toll booth. Actually, there's two toll booths. You go through the U.S. one, and I think you have to pay or to pay to get off. But then you go to the Canadian one, and you know, the Canadians. When I was a kid, and even a late teenager, early 20-something, we used to go to Canada quite a lot. And because the exchange rate was good, and Toronto was awesome, and they had good beer. And the drinking age was lower. There were all kinds of reasons. And they had casinos back in those days, before we had any of that crap here. But we used to go to the border, and you'd go through, and you'd get someone at the Canadian side, and they were always just so pleasant. Have a good day. You know, they'd say, where are you going? Toronto. Have a good day. And he'd wave you off. But I'm sure it's not like that anymore. It's been many years since I've been to that border. But could you imagine pulling up and now having facial scanner? Sit still, please. Let me scan your face. Stare into the camera. Kiosk. Avatar is a kiosk, much like an airport check-in. Or a grocery store self-checkout kiosk. So it'll be all familiar to you, says San Diego University Management Information System Professor Aaron Elkins. However, this kiosk has a face on the screen that will ask you questions and then can detect changes in your physiology and behavior during the interview. Big brother. The system can detect changes in your eyes and your voice and your gestures and your posture to determine potential risk. And it can even tell when you are curling your toes. Ah, how crazy is that? Here's how it works. Passengers would step up to the kiosk and be asked a series of questions such as, do you have fruits or vegetables in your luggage? Or are you carrying any weapons with you? Eye detection software and motion and pressure sensors would monitor the passengers as they answer questions, looking for telltale physiological signs of lying or discomfort. Remember, DHS had that whole list a long time ago, whether or not you're sweating or looking at your watch, whether or not your heart rate goes up. And now, of course, with biosensors, especially if you're holding some sort of handle or joystick while you're answering questions. And we found out also with the micro expressions, AI and cameras, there's no getting away from this. You would have to be very well versed to be able to get through lying and not getting caught with one of these devices. This kiosk would ask you a series of innocuous questions to establish baseline measurements. So people who are just nervous about flying, for example, wouldn't be unduly singled out, God forbid. Once the kiosk detects deception, though, they would flag those passengers for further scrutiny from human agents. Elkins began working on Avatar when he was a PhD student at where? Oh, again, that University of Arizona. Seeming like that's quite a hotbed. And as the deception detection project grew more advanced and more sensors were added, more data about the interviewee was analyzed. And when Elkins became a professor at SDSU in the fall of 2016, his work moved with him. And here he is in the process of completing the construction of his lab, where he plans to continue researching and teaching his students about artificial intelligence. We've come to realize that this can be used not just for border security, he says, but also for law enforcement, job interviews, and we've talked about those as well. You can even do that stuff right online, scanning your face while they're asking you questions, as well as other human resource applications. And as we continue to make improvements, such as analyzing the collected data using big data analysis techniques to make Avatar a potentially valuable tool across many industries. So here come the ubiquitous lie detectors looking for any type of twitchy eye, Johnny, to tell whether or not you're lying. In the meantime, Elkins is looking for a government agency willing to utilize the technology in a real-world application. Avatar has been tested in labs and airports and at border crossing stations, and the system is fully ready for implementation to help stem the flow of contraband, thwart fleeting criminals, and detect potential terrorists and many other applications in an effort to secure the international border. So, build a wall? No! Line it up with AI kiosks to be able to question and scan you. I mean, this is the type of world that we are moving into. I found a story out of Wired Magazine. It's out of January 8th, 2017. Thanks to AI, computers can now see your health problems. Patient number two was born to first-time parents, late 20s. The pregnancy was normal and the birth uncomplicated, but after a few months, it became clear that something was wrong. The child had an ear infection after ear infection, and trouble breathing at night. He was small for his age. And at his fifth birthday, he still hadn't spoken. And then he started having seizures. Brain MRI and molecular analyses, basic genetic testing, and scores of doctors, and nothing turned up answers. I think they should set Dr. Watson on that one. And with no further options in 2015, his family finally decided to sequence their exome, which is a portion of the genome that codes for proteins, to see if he has an inherited genetic disorder. And a single variant showed up. It's called Eridib. It is a mutation that suggests that he has a disease called Coffin-Siris syndrome. But patient number two did not have the disease's typical symptoms like sparse scalp hair and incomplete pinky fingers. So doctors met with the family to discuss the results, but they hadn't really considered it. The application, developed by the same programmers who taught Facebook to find your face in your friends' photos, conducted millions of tiny calculations in rapid succession. They look at how much the eye slants, how narrow the eyelid fissure is, how low are the ears, and they have quantified, computerized, and ranked it all to suggest the most probable genetic syndromes associated with what they are now calling facial phenotypes. So again, more facial recognition, scan you and look for genetic diseases. Now, we found out that Israeli company is using facial scans and looking at genetic traits to be able to then tell, statistically speaking, of course, whether or not you could be a terrorist, or a criminal, or a poker player, or genius. But now, there's another company scanning your face and looking at your facial phenotypes to determine whether or not you could potentially have a genetic disease. And guys, this stuff could all be done without your knowledge, mind you. As you're walking around or driving around the city, being surveilled 24/7 by the cameras in the city. It says, in hindsight, it was all clear to me, says Grip, who is the chief of the medical division of genetics of AI at DuPont Hospital for Children in Delaware. They've been seeing patients for years, but none of it had been clear to anyone what had taken patient number two's doctor 16 years to find. Took this new software that they are calling Face2 Gene just a few minutes to find. Listen to that. Dr. Watson, an AI, is going to put doctors out of business. Dr. Smartphone is coming. Dr. Smartphone is going to be running the show. Face2 Gene takes advantage of the fact that so many genetic conditions have a telltale face, or meaning a unique constellation of features that can provide clues to a potential diagnosis. It is just one of several new technologies taking advantage of how quickly modern computers can analyze, sort, and find patterns across huge reams of data. They are built in the field of artificial intelligence and is known as deep learning and neural nets, among most promising to deliver AI's 50-year-old promise to revolutionize medicine by recognizing and diagnosing disease. Well, guys, so this is a 50-year promise that is now coming to fruition. They can scan you and diagnose you on the fly. Genetic syndromes aren't the only diagnoses that could get help from machine learning. The right eye GeoPref autism test can identify early stages of autism in infants as young as 12 months. And children at that age should be much more attracted to faces than abstract objects. So at the amount of time that they look at each screen can indicate where the autism spectrum is that a child might fall on. Remember, we also talked about mental disorders on a spectrum. That is going to be the new way of diagnosing everything. And we will all be diagnosed with some sort of spectrum disorder, whether it be on the high or the low end. You're going to get a score. And validation studies done by the test's inventors, UC San Diego researcher Karen Pierce, the test correctly predicted autism spectrum disorder for 86% of the time in more than 400 toddlers. That said, it is still pretty new, and it hasn't, of course, yet been approved by the FDA as a diagnostic tool, but don't worry about it. The 21st Century Cures Act got the FDA a new rubber stamp. So they'll be able to just pump these suckers out for 2017. Invest. But before this, it used to be just physicians or parents' observations that might lead to the diagnosis. So now, of course, we can quantify things and utilize AI while we're doing it. They can also use it to maybe detect the early symptoms of Alzheimer's. Again, another neurological disorder. Often doctors do not recognize the physical symptoms in time to try any of the disease's existing interventions. But machine learning hears what doctors cannot. And this is what I told you using your voice. Signs of cognitive impairment in speech. This is how Toronto-based Winter Light Labs is developing a tool to pick out hints of dementia in its very early stages. Winter's tool is way more sensitive than a pencil and paper based test that doctors currently use. Besides being crude data wise, those tests cannot be taken more than once every 6 months, which lets it track good days, bad days, and measure how a patient's cognitive functions over time. But if this all feels a little scarily sci-fi to you, they say, it is useful to remember The doctors have been trusting computers, oh, listen to this, with your diagnosis for a very long time. It's because machines are much more sensitive at both detecting and analyzing many subtle interactions that our bodies are misbehaving. Yes, that misbehaving body. But none of this makes doctors obsolete. So don't worry about it, because Dr. Smartphone won't be here in the next few years. But it's coming. Even Face 2 Gene, which according to its inventors can diagnose up to half of the 8,000 known genetic syndromes using your facial patterns gleaned from the hundreds of thousands of images in its database, needs a doctor with enough experience to verify the results. Yeah, until Dr. Watson gets his hands on it. It's crazy. Yeah, so we're not going to diagnose you yet without a doctor involved. It's just like we're not going to drone bomb you without some sort of human being involved. But no, that is a lie. They are working on fully autonomous units. All right, and last but not least, we're letting AI make our decisions be the best decision that we make. And I think this is where we're going to kick it off tomorrow. We are going to dig into some of this merging with machine. But AI is moving into all parts of our life. Deep learning, the algorithm, is going to be in our faces as of this year. And the step closer to having a robot as a boss. A robot running the show, whether he be a tin can or in the machine, is getting closer than ever. Over one-third of Americans, as of January 9, 2017, prefer software robots over a human boss. So what do you think of them apples? Careful what you ask for. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. It is Tuesday. Ms. Lonnie Clark is live up next. Tons of live radio tonight. And have an awesome Tuesday. I will see you tomorrow. Everybody take care.